Hey, leaders and visionaries. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm thrilled to be your guide as we dig into conscious leadership and personal growth. Our mission is simple: help you reconnect with your authentic self, untamed from who others taught you to be, and unleash the leader within. So whether you're a leader looking to deepen your impact or an individual yearning for greater fulfillment and joy, the Untamed Mind is your mentor on the path to becoming your true self. Hello, welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I am so excited to have a bestie on with me today. She is someone that I've known for over a year and is an endless source of inspiration for me. What she does in a small amount of time is nothing short of a miracle. And just watching as she has gone through evolution after evolution in her own work has been incredible. So I'm excited to welcome Ina Kubany to the podcast today. She is a podcast host, a business coach, and just an all-around amazing human and really great roommate, I might add.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on today.
Hi, Bree. I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. Well, let's jump in with the question I like to kick it off with, which is, what does the untamed mind mean to you and to your work?
So when I hear untamed, I think of like unbridled horses for some reason, and that you can't pin them down. That's what comes up for me. That if I were to say that I have an untamed mind, I'm like, that's a pretty accurate statement, because you really can't pin me down to anything at any given point in time. I need to keep moving. I need to keep growing. I need to keep evolving. There's always something new in the horizon. So that's just something that you just can't tame. So that's what I think of when I think of the untamed mind.
That speaks to me, because that's exactly what I feel, you know, one of the many reasons that my evolution has gone from corporate to law firm world and now into this entrepreneurial space is because of that tension that I have experienced in some of those environments that try to tame you, or that, you know, try to condition you to one way of working or being. And then now I've moved over to the space where I have so much more freedom. And it really does feel like that freedom, like that free horse that knows, hey, I can run, and I can run at my own pace in my own way. And it may look different than, you know, what society says is the right way of working or doing or being, but it fits for me. So let's use that as a jumping off of like, what has your experience been in kind of unconditioning from the 15 years that you spent in corporate, and how that freedom manifests for you now?
Well, you know, you just kind of like triggered something in my brain, and this must be like the entrepreneurial thinking in and thinking about, well, when you go about getting clients, when you go about signing up new customers, you don't think that you're trying to put that person in a box. You're trying to find the right people to work with, the right people for your experience. So as you were talking, I'm like, maybe that's all corporate is. Like, it has to be a very specific kind of person to want to be in that life and to want to have that job and to want to move up in that world. And I am just not it. I remember one time, and this just stuck in my mind so much. My boss, I was working in consulting at the time, and my boss created his own very successful business. So I took him out to lunch and I asked him, you know, I have this like little business making websites, because I started making websites on the side when I had my first son. My first son is 12 now. So my little website business, you know, like 12 years old. So I asked him, you know, what do you think I should do with it? Because I'm not really sure what to do. Should I try to grow it? Should I try to like sell it? I don't think that was even an option for me at the time. Like, should I try to sell it? Should I try to grow it? Should I just keep it as a side business? Like, what do you think? I really was like trying to like talk to the oracle here. You know about business. Tell me what I should do. And his response, he tried to be kind about it. He did not come off kind. He said, well, in business, there are people who are great leaders, and you know, they do their own thing, and like they go out and do, they create things. And then there's people who are just really good employees. And he kind of looks at me, and I'm like, oh, that's how you see me. That is what you think that I am good for. And that just kind of like put the first nail in that corporate coffin for me. I have to tell you, when I quit that job, I did not go straight into entrepreneurship. I went to another job. But that's what started to kind of start to sour the situation, that I didn't see myself the way my own boss, who's supposed to be keeping my future in his mind, right? Like that he couldn't see me the way that I saw myself. I'm like, oh, you have the wrong idea about me. So I left and I went to another job. And that's when things just started to like hit the fan all over the place. And I just say that I basically got screwed over for the last time, right? Tried to put in a box for the last time. Just to make a really long story short, my boss in corporate had told me that he needed a certain problem fixed. I was 9 months pregnant at the time. He basically told me, quit whatever thing you're doing right now. I need you in this. So I did all the things. I hired a contractor to take care of the old job. I hired a contractor to shadow me while I was fixing this new thing because I was going to go maternity leave any minute. And in the meantime, my boss, who was in the C-suite, he puts out a new organizational chart saying that I'm going to be leading a new part of the organization, reporting directly to him. And I get a letter telling me that I got a promotion. I'm like, oh, this sounds great. Where is my pay raise? There was no pay raise. And when I went to talk to him about it, I'm like, you realize this is a promotion and you should be doing this right. It was 2017. It was the year of Me Too. Things were happening all over the company and women leaving in droves because of the way that they were being treated. So I'm like, you need to do this right. And his answer was, oh, you're going on maternity leave anyway. So basically telling me, we don't want to pay you more for you to be sitting on your ass for 4 months. And at the time that I was making websites, I was making a website for an employment lawyer. So I talked to him. I'm like, what should I do about this? And he's like, well, yes, but it depends on how far do you want to take this. And here I have my mother and my husband telling me, please have the baby. Like, just like, take a chill pill. Just have it. Do not go into a legal battle right now. And, you know, if you experience this, any nervousness or any anxiety that you have does get transferred to the baby. It's just something that you really don't want, especially like as you're about to give birth, all this anxiety. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wait, deal with it when I get back. And then while I was on maternity leave, I get a call because I have a new manager because I'm no longer reporting to C-suite. And they're telling me that the male contractor that I had hired is doing such a great job that he's going to keep the promotion and I can just go back to doing my old job. And that's when I went like, all right, thank you. I guess we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to be playing this game. So that's, and I talked to my husband. We looked at our finances. Turns out that we could afford me not working for about a year. This is just because we've been extremely smart with our money. My husband is an amazing finance manager in our house. And yeah, so I ended up starting this real like online business. And you can't match that freedom, like you were saying, right? You can't match that feeling that, wow, now I get to do whatever I want. But that also comes with pressure because now you have all of these high goals and you only have yourself to stay accountable for them, right? I can't go and point fingers at my boss anymore and say, well, like he's trying to like keep me in a box. Like, no, now I have my untamed mind that I have to figure out how to tame myself so that I can actually meet some goal. So that's kind of how like freedom has kind of come into my life. And it's a challenge every time, especially if you have really high goals, high expectations of yourself, and you only have yourself to look at for this. I mean, it can be a very, very challenging situation. It takes very, very special people to be in corporate. It takes very special people to not.
Yes. Wow. So I didn't realize this part of your story. And just in terms of, you know, I like to phrase it as like the work wounds. And I don't think, I was just in an event this weekend with one of our fellow community builder mastermind folks talking with some women, and several women mentioned to me, you know, one was being bullied for taking PTO to be there, despite she had a PTO bank, right, and was being bullied by her boss for taking this PTO. Another was having a really awful situation, just moving her book of business to a new company and was facing so much gaslighting. and, you know, a work wound that you've experienced while pregnant, while contributing at such a high level. And certainly, like, definitely toes the line, you know, wearing my former employment attorney hat of some possibly unlawful activity when you're pregnant and somebody else gets a promotion. And it's, you know, I think a story, the reason that I want to highlight this just for a moment is it's such a impactful story. And I remain, I think, surprised time and time again how many of us women of any age have experienced work wounds because we are women and because of the outdated norms that just permeate so many different workplaces, whether it's an entrepreneurial one or a corporate workplace. It's just, and this is like a passion of mine to make these places better. And I think one of the ways that you and I are both doing that is we're building something outside of some of those systems because they no longer served us. We identified, this isn't going to work for me. Yes, maybe my brain works different. Maybe I have different goals for myself, but ultimately I want to do better and do differently. And that's what we are both doing in our spaces. And so it's a little bit of the tip of the hat, but where I really want to go next is that burden, that pressure that you talk about, because you have been at this game longer than I have on that like pure entrepreneurial, like I am keeping with the horse analogy, I am sitting in the chariot and I am driving these horses. And sometimes they want to go in a different direction and I got to corral them back. And just ask you about some of that pressure, some of the burden, because I think it is a trade-off. There's a maybe a hope for belief that the corporate way is that security that we can rely on. And yet, and so we say, oh, we're going to trade it for freedom over on this side. And yet there's these pressures that still kind of lurk in a new way. And I've had to unschool the notion that it's like, it's not a free ride to not having the stress on this side of the thing. It's just a different kind of stress. So but I would love to hear your wisdom in this.
It's your stress, though. Mm-hmm. It's a stress that you have control over. And for me, just being like a type A, like I do what I want kind of person, control is a big theme for me. And I never lose sight of that, that whatever stress I have, whatever challenges I'm facing, they are self-inflicted. I can change them if I want to, right? And that's actually like the part that makes me most excited about what I do is reimagining, okay, if there's something that I don't like about the way that I'm conducting my business or how I'm serving right now or how I'm spending my time, I love just spending a day out in the hammock while the kids are at school, which doesn't happen a lot. Like, why are the kids not going to school? It's like either a half day or they're sick or it's a holiday, like all the time. Why? So if I'm lucky enough that the kids are in school, I can sit in my hammock outside when it's a nice day out and just with a notebook and just brainstorm ideas for how to solve this one problem. And that's probably my favorite time. I call it strategic planning time, but it has nothing to do with like post-its or whiteboards or strategy meetings. It's about like me sitting with my head and my brain saying, there is something here that I want to change and I want to change it now. So it's actually amazing to have that level of control, that level of freedom to have that control. Where I incorporate, there would be so many other factors completely outside of what I can do, right? Because you have HR procedures and you have your boss and you have your projects and the things that are just like running and you have to run at the same pace as them, you know? In your own business, you can actually slow down as much as you want, speed up as much as you want. But going back to like, okay, Ina, that all sounds wonderful, but where are the pressures, right? Well, the pressures exist when we start to build that we start to put together those horses, right? Like we're just going to stay with that analogy. So being on the chariot and having the horses, you're the one picking the horses. Sometimes the horses have a mind of their own. What am I talking about? One of the horses could be clients. And I'm going to tell you something. A chariot doesn't go anywhere without a horse. And I'm going to tell you that first horse is called clients. So I know a lot of people who try to get into this space and they're actually scared that they're going to quit too soon, that they're going to get bored, that they're going to try to sell a program or create a course or whatever. And a month later, they're still not going to have any clients and they're just going to want to quit, right? Or they're going to get bored and they're going to want to do something else. And then they'll disappoint all of their clients. And I'm like, no. I'm going to tell you something. And maybe this is a being a woman thing. And maybe this is being a mom thing. But we will, like, just naturally tend to sacrifice ourselves, but we tend to watch out for others a lot more than we watch out for ourselves. That's how we end up burning out. That's how we end up like not having enough sleep at night. That's how we end up working 24 hours in a day, right? Like we do that not because of us, right? We do that for other people. So that's kind of an effect that it's just natural to us. Like this is what we do. That's why there's mindset coaches. That's why there's wellness coaches, right? Because like we need somebody to keep reminding us, hey, you gotta slow down. You gotta get some sleep. You gotta eat something, right? Like people have to keep reminding us that, you know what? It's okay for you to take a little bit of time for yourself. That's why there are self-care coaches, right? You gotta take a little bit of time of yourself. You have to remember to do that, right? Because naturally, we'll just want to please everybody and we'll want to not disappoint anybody around us, right? So I'm gonna tell you, like, the one thing that will keep you going, prevent you from getting bored, prevent you from quitting, prevent you from just like letting go and disappointing everybody, is that first horse, which is clients. So that's what I tell everybody. Listen, as soon as you have a client, you will not want to disappoint them. It's not in your nature to just say, you know what? I know we said we would work together for 6 months, but we're at the 1 month mark and I'm really not feeling it. So peace out. That doesn't happen. We don't do that. You know what we do? If at the month mark, we're feeling like, oh, this doesn't really feel quite right. Maybe this wasn't the right client, or maybe this is just not the kind of work I want to do. You know what we're still going to do? We're still going to push through those 6 months with that client because they paid us and that's what the contract says and we're going to do it. But the beauty of it is that at the same time, we have the power and the control to say, okay, what are the things that I did not enjoy about that engagement that I could change about that offer? I'm going to turn around and try this again. Let me see if I can get another client that is a little bit different with a different offer, with different something. But I'm going to keep going because I have that client depending on me. That horse right there is what keeps that chariot going. And that's clients, right? I didn't think about this metaphor before we sat down. So I have no idea what the second horse is. But I'm sure we will figure it out in this conversation. But that's kind of what I'm thinking here is there will be pressures, mostly self-inflicted, and it does take us recognizing that. Like your next step is going to come from first acknowledging the struggle and saying, this is something that I don't like. So step one, acknowledging it. Step two is realizing, I have full control to change this. Anytime I want, in any way I want. And that's why there's other coaches, right? To go and bounce ideas off of how would you handle this? What is the right way to handle this? What do I do, right? So that's kind of what, I don't even know, like I totally deviated so much from the original question. But when it comes to pressures, like that's just my biggest reminder. I keep going because I have clients that depend on me and I have a work ethic that is going to keep me going. And I just realize that I always have control.
Yeah.
That resilience is such a pull through in your story in terms of identifying. And I think that you have done this and just, you know, had a seat to seeing some of this. You have identified things that maybe didn't feel aligned in whether it was your messaging, your branding or things like that. And you've changed. And it just seems like the recent change that you're doing, and I'm so curious to get into, you know, what this next season looks like for you, because it has been a build back better. And this resilience is, I think you speak to it a little bit, in part overcome some of your limiting beliefs. And so I would love to hear, like, what is a limiting belief that you feel you're really busting through right now? And, you know, just this resilience, I think clients, I love that you pointed that out, because I think for me and for so many people, whether you're in corporate, whether you're an entrepreneur, but the ability to have an impact is in large part where the motivation comes from. And that's an impact in an organization or an impact in a one-to-one client relationship. So long as, at least I feel, if I am making an impact and I am really enhancing something for someone, then I am as motivated as can be. And that's a piece of that resilience. So let's break it down. Let's go with the one limiting belief that you think you're busting through right now. And then we can talk a little bit more on resilience too.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say this. Exactly what you just said is how I felt in corporate. I loved my job because I was always keeping like every department, every person happy. I used to do software project management and nobody thinks they need a project manager. right? Like, because developers, like software developers, they don't like project managers. It's like, get out of my face. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, why are you talking to me? Right? Then you have actual like managers of those teams who are like, why is the project manager wasting my developer's time and getting in their face? Why isn't the just... And then a project manager comes and actually starts to untangle a whole bunch of issues and actually allowing the developers to have a lot more free time and fewer calls from clients and a lot more productivity and a lot more freedom. And then they realize like, whoa, like we need an Ina in our life. Like that's what my corporate life was like. So I just wanted to point that out that, yes, like you don't necessarily just draw the satisfaction from a job well done. Right? It's from the energy of other people that appreciate what you do, right? So like I tell people like if I hadn't gotten screwed over in my last job, I probably would still be there. I'd be a director somewhere, a VP somewhere. Like I see constantly on LinkedIn, all of my peers are like, new position, VP of whatever, or CEO of this company. I'm like, yeah, that probably would have been me. But I still would be wondering, what if I had the courage to quit my job and do something else? In fact, oh my God, can you imagine if I can find it? No, I just trust me on this. I could totally find it, but I'm not going to. I wrote down when I was 23 years old, I wrote down a list of basically like, it's almost like a bucket list. Like the things that I really want to do in my life. And one of them was, I want to be able to quit my job to do something that I love. And I was able to strike that off the day that I quit my job in 2018. And that was powerful to me because my biggest fear at the time, in fact, my biggest fear when I was 23 and my biggest fear when I quit my job in 2018, I'm not going to tell you how old I was to retire from the company that hired me out of college because it was such a good deal, right? I was working with really smart people. I was getting a solid, good paycheck. My husband and I used to have W-2 raises every year because whoever has the highest W-2, that's the name that goes as the head of household in the tax return. And we would have raises. It's like, okay, let's see who did better this year, right? So I'm going to tell you, like, quitting my job in 2018 was one of the hardest things to do because I don't care how much money you make, slicing your household income in half is not an easy decision for anybody. I don't care how much money you make. 50% below whatever you make, it's just not never going to feel like enough. So this was a very, very hard decision, but I'm so happy, so proud of 2018 Ina for doing it at that time, because I would still be wondering, would be here having this conversation with me being the VP of whatever and me wondering, why didn't I quit when I had the chance? Because right now I have these golden handcuffs, like impossible to quit at this point. So anyway, I just wanted to say that out loud. It's like you kind of like choose your path, like choose your heart. Nothing is going to come easy. None of the things we're going to be talking about today are just like, anybody should just do them at the drop of a hat. If they were easy, everybody would be doing them, but they're not. So you were asking me about limiting beliefs.
I love that. I just have to say, you're talking about keeping the horse analogy going, but like unbridled potential and you betting on yourself, right? And that little voice in the back of your head that would be saying, I wonder what would have happened had I just bet on myself. And there's so much power in, I think it is the biggest self-development journey that I've ever been on, is to be an entrepreneur and building something that is not only heart-led, but is combining everything that I've done. And that betting on myself, there are times where it feels really scary, and that's where some of those limiting beliefs come in. But more often than not, I feel that badass energy because I'm out here doing it. I'm choosing my hard. My hard looks different than it did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But let's go. Let's do this. And it feels great.
Can we call that the second horse? The second horse is that dream, right? That determination, that if not me, then who? If not now, then when? And I would just regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't. Like that's, I think that's horse number two. I think we need that.
Yes, that's so good. And that resilience, right, that is sort of embedded in this when those really hard moments come up. And some of it, as you speak so well on, is self-induced suffering. Some of it we inflicted on ourselves. Right. But there are those hard moments. But that deeper why, being that second horse, can get you through it, you know, as much, if not sometimes more than the clients and, yeah, you know, the absence of or the challenging nature of it, right? It can get you through those moments.
Right.
I think that's it. You nailed it.
I like that. I like that. We have our second horse.
There we go.
Now, limiting beliefs. This is a really hard one for me because they're very, very hard to admit, my limiting beliefs. Very hard to admit. My biggest limiting belief is so hard. That if people really get to know me, they wouldn't like me. You know? Which I mean, I've seen over and over evidence that that's not true. I mean, you like me, right?
I really like you. I was going to say I love you, but and?
And you like me, right? I love you too.
I like you. Yes.
And I don't feel like I'm being fake with you. Like, I feel like I am. I'm being myself when I'm with you. We've roomed together, right? We've seen each other, right? To take up then. And so I don't feel like I'm being fake with you. So I have all the evidence telling me that, you know, if people got to know me, they would like me. And I'm starting to tear up a little bit, but it wasn't like that growing up. So it was one of those things I always felt like you had to please people. And my therapist at one point, she pointed something out to me that I didn't realize that I was doing. I'm doing it now. She pointed out to me that whenever I would talk to her about something sad, I would smile while I was saying it. I'm doing it now. I legit am demonstrating what I'm talking about. And I would tell her, I would share something with her, and I would be smiling. And she was like, why do you do that? What you're sharing is like heartbreaking. What you're sharing is not good. Why are you smiling? And I'm like, I guess I'm trying to soften the blow for you, right? I'm trying not to be dramatic as I'm crying here. So I'm like, I need a tissue. I guess I'm trying to not be dramatic, trying to just keep you content, keep you happy, keep you comfortable. And that's just a lesson that I had to learn because kids can be real mean. Mm-hmm. And if you had the wonderful courage of being yourself, you also had to be armed with the skill to not care what people think. And I feel like I didn't ever build that skill of not caring what people think. To this day, I have conversations. I've developed a really beautiful friendship with another entrepreneur, and we've been talking every day. And I share with her like something that happened, and she just has much thicker skin than me. And to me, it's like awe-inspiring. And I'm like, how do you not care? How do you not let this like destroy you? And she's like, it just doesn't matter. Because what people think just doesn't matter. And it's just so wonderful to hear, to like be injected with that energy because I didn't grow up with it. So it's one of those things that I talk a lot about creating a business, even if you have a small audience. And I firmly believe that the reason I've always had a small audience is because of that fear that if I had more people in there, then I would be more open to scrutiny, more open to people telling me how much they don't like me. I actually just had a reel go viral, which was like super exciting. It went viral to like 20,000 views and then it stopped. And now it went back up like weeks later, all of a sudden it started to get traction again. And then now it's up to like 30,000 views. And that's like going viral for me. I've only had like one other reel go more viral than that. And the only reason I know it's going viral is not because I'm checking my stats all the time. It's because I'm getting comments on that reel, right? That's how I know, because I check my notifications and I see I have 16 comments. I'm like, what are people commenting on? Oh, is that reel? And the comments on it, like 80% of them are not kind, you know? And this is something that I have seen in other people going viral, that they come back and they're crying and they tell you, like, why are people so disgusting? Why are people so mean? Why are people, like, trying to take you down? And it's true, like, I can only read some of those comments. I do, like, because you know how they tell you, like, you know, if you're getting comments, you should be replying to the comments, right? I'm like, I don't think I can. I don't think I want to fill my head with that stuff, with people telling me what an awful parent I am or how I should be doing whatever with my kids. And like, I'm like, I don't think I want to fill my brain with all of that. Now, you may be thinking, well, it doesn't matter. They're strangers. It's true. I don't have, like, I'm not hurt that they don't like me. It's not necessarily like that. But like, I can't read all day messages that say you are being a bad parent, mm-hmm. right? I'm sorry. I just can't. So I have the firm belief that I have a small audience because I've never dared to really go big because of that limiting belief. And it's really hard to admit.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you did. I think that speaks to so many people. I see myself in your story. My too much has always been I'm too sensitive. Like, the too much has never resonated other than I have this limiting belief that I'm too sensitive. I've had people say things like, oh, she's not strong enough for XYZ because I am a deeply feeling person. And how I have chosen to alchemize that narrative for myself is that is my strength. That's my superpower, without a doubt, is that I do feel deeply and that, you know, things may hurt. I'm not quick to anger. Things may hurt first, but that I can at least see that hurt that other people may experience, that lash out. But instead, I just internalize it differently, and that people resonate with my deeply feelingness and just seeing that as a strength. And so I'm just so grateful you shared that story because I see myself in it.
Can I just tell you that that is one of my favorite things about you?
Thank you.
So if I can say that, because you meet a lot of people in this like online world, and there's just so few people that you can like click so easily and quickly with, you know? And mm-hmm. I really feel like it's your highly sensitive nature because it makes you such a like a vulnerable person. It makes you somebody that I can very easily open up to, that I can really easily feel like Bree is not about to come and judge me for anything I say, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to say that's like one of my favorite things about you.
Thank you so much. Because you brought it up, I think it would be a beautiful conversation to talk about your viral post. It was very, not the comments so much, but we are both moms. We are both boy moms. Our boys are very similar in ages. And the reason that this plays into, you know, this post that went viral is I am often you sitting on the sidelines. Our sports are football, soccer. And sometimes I bring my laptop. I remember last summer going to a football camp and I was out and it was starting to rain. And I'm like furiously typing to get something done while on the sidelines of football. So do you want to just paint the picture of this viral post? And
sure.
It's so good.
This was a reel. And by the way, it's so funny. I have been creating reels forever. And there's some reels that I think are going to nail it. And I posted a reel a couple days ago. It got 46 views. 46! 46 views! That's like, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not impressed by these like meme templates because like this is not going anywhere, right?
The meta gods were like, you already got too much. We gotta cut this back. Like you're getting right? your ego might be your it's like the most random thing ever.
It's like, thank you for playing. You're done, right? So I've been creating reels forever and you just never know which is the one that's really gonna strike a chord. So I was sitting at my son's gymnastics class. And first, I'm going to tell you like the story of that happened, right? And so I bring my computer to gymnastics because, you know, it's a pretty big warehouse kind of gym. And it's not like you're sitting right in front of your kids. Your kids are off in the warehouse doing their thing. It's a huge place with all these gymnastics mats. And they could be like in the other side of the place. But they have this space for parents to sit. And there are little tables and like a window so you can kind of see. So I was sitting in one of those tables with the window. I couldn't even see my kid because it was like all the way to the end. And I'm sitting there with my computer and I'm working. And as I'm working, I'm here always thinking like, okay, let's create some content, right? What can I do right here sitting here? So I just set my phone to record me while I was just writing in my notebook. I even put up a filter. By the way, huge filter fail in that recording. I was very vain. I'm like, I need a filter for this because I wasn't wearing any makeup. This was like a Sunday morning, or Saturday morning, you know, out with my kids, not wearing makeup. So I put on the filter and I just recorded myself like B-roll, you know, recorded myself, just jotting things down, looking up, jotting things down, using the computer. That's it. End of reel. And then when my son finishes class, I close the computer, put everything away, and we're going to get his stuff, his shoes. And there's this dad, and he's just like an older dude. Like, I question if he was a dad, maybe he might have been a granddad. And he looks at me with a computer and he's like, don't tell me that's work. And he's like, you know, trying to like be nice, like, you know, make conversation or whatever. And he's like, don't tell me that's work. And I'm like, I'm afraid it is. He's like, you know, like, you do what you gotta do, right? I'm like, I'm afraid it is. And he's like, I told you not to tell me. Ba-dum-bum, psh. Like a little like dad joke, right? Like, I told you not to tell. And you're like, ha, ha, ha. Okay, great. And then I just move on and go home and whatever. And, but for some reason, that comment stayed in my head, right? He didn't mean to be judgmental. He was just like, you know, like, gymnastics, why are you on your computer, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he was thinking. It doesn't matter what he thought of me. Like, none of that matters, right? But for some reason, that just stayed in my head and stayed in my head. Like, 2 weeks later, I am here thinking, I'm just sitting with my phone. I'm like, oh, let me post a reel. What should I post? And I'm looking through my B-roll and I find my video of me and the filter fail and the, you know, a gymnastic. And I thought of that story. I'm like, oh. I don't know why I keep thinking about that. Like, it must be, because like, who cares what that guy thought? It must be that I continuously am judging myself. I'm applying that guilt, that judgment that I saw in him that he did not mean at all, right? I'm applying it to myself. So I'm like, I feel like that's a relatable message. Like, if we are doing this, I know that we're not all just working while our kid is doing soccer and feeling great about it, right? Like, we wish we could just be like here with, you know, a nice drink in our hand and rooting our kid. You know what? Sometimes we're working. And I've done that too. I've gone to soccer and like been in a corner with a computer trying to crank something out for a client, because if I'm able to finish that work for that client in these 5 minutes, I'm going to have the rest of the day free so that I can take my sons to eat and that we can go play video games. And like, I'm going to be able to do so much more if everybody can just leave me alone for like 15 more minutes to finish this right now, right? So I've been there, I've done that. So I put together kind of like a little story, and I strategically speaking, I made it a long reel, right? And I put prompts every few seconds, right? So that people would stay with me through the story, right? So, because it was like a 90-second reel. That's like the longest reel you could have. So strategically speaking, I just made it a long story that was dripping, that was interesting, right? Like, that happened, like that story was told that way on purpose, right? Right. That's why it wasn't just like a 10-second reel with really long text. Like, there was a purpose to it, right? Because you're always experimenting with reels. And that reel ends up going to 30,000 views. So the comments that I'm getting are, you know, some people are like, you are speaking to my heart. I do that too. You gotta do what you gotta do. Some people just go in there, like, start, like, tell me, because the prompt of the reel is like, so what would you have said? What would you have done? And some people go and say like, oh, I would have told him to mind his own business, right? And I enjoyed so much listening to those responses, because it's exactly what I have in my mind, and you have, it's like a scratching an itch, just saying something that you really, really want to say, right? Like, mind your own business, or like, who asked you? Or like, why are you judging me? You're like, you go. Like, so like, I love reading those, like, defending me. I love those. Those scratch an itch, those feel great. But the point of it is not what would we actually say to that guy. That guy's an innocent here, right? Like, he's not meaning to do anything. What really matters here is how much guilt and judgment we're casting on ourselves for doing that stuff? Why are we triggered when somebody is making a little, like a little comment, right? That's what's important, is to be self-aware enough to know that when we feel judged, it's like, what am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling this? Is it okay that I'm feeling it? Like, just that self-awareness, I feel like it's a really important part of the entrepreneurial journey, especially when you're a business owner, because you can't be pointing fingers and casting blame on people. Because like, you got to really know how you are going to get over your blocks. What are going to be your limiting beliefs? What are the things that are going to continue to stop you, right? Exactly what we're just talking about. So that was kind of like my point with it, right? And I've responded to some people who have been kind with their messages, but also saying like, well, why did you get triggered? Why are you taking it that way? I'm like, right. That is the right question to be asking. It's not, why is that guy being so judgmental? It's, why are you taking it that way? That. And I reward those people. I send them a comment. I'm like, that is the right question to be asking here, right? Mm-hmm. So the point is, let's not judge anybody else. Let's stop judging ourselves, and we're just going to do what we got to do.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it something? I mean, it's such a good story, and especially because you've gone viral. So you've seen sort of the spectrum of people's responses to this post and how it really runs the gamut to, you know, your eyes aren't on your kid to all the way over here being really activated. And I found myself feeling a little activated by that because I think I have conditioning that has told me as a woman, it is way less appropriate for me to not be fully fixated on my child when my child may be present, no matter how far away, no matter what they're doing. Right. And I still feel activated by the perception of that narrative. But just as we've been saying throughout this whole conversation, that is self-inflicted. Because if I'm coming from a place of inner knowing about what my contributions, both as a mother, as well as the owner of my business are, and I'm really solid in how I identify my boundaries, and this is, you know, my protected time for my kids. But my protected time is not when I'm sitting on the sidelines watching a practice, right? As opposed to a game, or I have different like ways and metrics that I use to decide how vested I'm going to be in something. That should then just be like a more peaceful turning that rock over. Somebody makes a comment and it's just like a wave, just kind of washing over. And yet I still am like, but society tells me, you know, and I get all like bent out of shape. So it was such a beautiful story. And I think ironically too, that was the same week that now I'm unpacking for myself. There was another reel that went viral and it was a woman PGA. So she's a professional golfer and she's sitting in the bay of like top golf or something and is working on her stroke. And for 15 minutes, there's a gentleman, and this is like a more egregious example of this. A gentleman is in the bay over and is giving this pro golfer all these tips about how terrible her golf swing is. And the pro golfer then is like supplementing on top of, you know, you hear the guy giving her all these comments. And in this reel, she's saying, you know, I am actually slowing my stroke down to work on this very fine piece of it. And this guy is just on and on and on, like berating her for her golf or swing, maybe is the better word. I'm not a golf aficionado, but in any event, so those two kind of happened at the same time too. So I'm unpacking for myself, like we have an example of that probably that was overstepping for sure. And then one that was, like you said, very innocent. And yet I'm so quick to throw them all in the same bucket because, you know, especially these additional burdens that we as working parents and then take it a step further as working mothers experience, right? They all just kind of get layered on top of each other. And if we don't spend the time to unpack where these activations are coming from, we just walk around as really activated people all the time.
I am so glad that you brought this up because I get very, very frustrated just like in my daily life when I stop having control, right? I told you control is a really important thing to me. When I stop having control over my time, over what I want to do, over anything. And sometimes, you know, when I'm at home, I feel like, okay, my kids are entertaining themselves. I'm just going to come here, carve out a little bit of time just to do something else. And still I come and get interrupted by my kids every 5 minutes. And I'm like, what you guys want me to do is to just do nothing else, to just sit on the couch like this and wait for you guys to have a question and wait for you guys to be driven somewhere and wait till you guys are hungry. Like, that's what you wish like my life was. Now I'm projecting it onto them, of course, which, you know, they're just talking to their mom. They're not doing anything wrong. But like, that's kind of how you start like to feel it, like especially like if you have kids around. I just wanted to say like a big shout out to moms who have businesses, who have full-time jobs, who are homemakers, like everybody who has kids, like, yes, your time gets like taken, gets chipped at piece by piece. It doesn't get taken out by block. It gets taken out by chips, right? And that can be very frustrating. So I can't say that I have found the magic cure for this. It's something that I'm constantly evolving to see how can I change this? How can I move this, right? One of the big things have been a realization for me has been that I really cannot expect to do work after like 6 o'clock at night. Like that, because it used to be, I would get so angry because I'm like, well, after 6 o'clock, well, the kids are going to be just playing their computer games or like their video games. My husband is going to probably be doing work. So like, I feel like I could sneak in a little bit of work. It never worked out. And then I would get angry at the poor children who are just like chipping. You know, like, I'm just want to ask you what's for dinner. I just want to ask you if you would wipe my butt. Like, I like they're just talking to their mom, but it's all an expectations game. Right? It's all an expectations game, like realizing that it is an election day and there's no school that day and you forgot to put that on the calendar. So now you have all of these meetings, but both kids are home and you didn't know that in advance, right? And you didn't realize it. So it's all an expectations game. If you knew what to expect, you'd be able to plan for it and you'd be okay. So for me, I had to set that rule to stop the anger, to stop the missed expectations, to stop the feeling like I can't do anything. I'm not allowed to do anything. Was, you know what? After 6 o'clock, even if my kids are going to be watching TV, I got to be in a different mode. I can't be in a work mode because if I am, I'm going to get very disappointed that I'm not going to be able to spend all of my time doing it. Right. And you might get very frustrated that I'm getting interrupted. So after 6, we are done. If I get to do something, that's a bonus, but we're not going to expect it anymore. And it's actually made my life a lot easier, even though like I'm not working 24/7. Right. Like I probably would if nobody was here in this house, I probably was like working myself to death. Right. But like now I know these are the expectations that I have. This is what's going to happen. And then I plan my life that way, and it has made me so much better. So I just want to send like a lot of love to moms that I see you. This is not easy stuff. We all have to figure out how to handle it and how to make it better, because we also want our kids to grow up knowing that they have a very happy mom who's doing great things, right? They don't want to see the angry mom who's angry at me all the time, right? Like I had to come to terms with that. I had to go through that. And yeah, that it all became like a game of expectations for me. I'm wondering how it is in like your household. Have you set up like rules and boundaries so that you know, like, because like the interruptions can just be like very frustrating, can go down a dark path very fast.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that expectations, I was going to comment on that because that is a huge piece for me. And my time is a little bit, the time where I know that I'm on mom mode, it starts about 4 o'clock for me local, but the boys get up the best about 2:50. So in that first hour, they're usually outside playing, or, you know, if it's super rainy or bad weather, they're on their tablet. But from 4 to 6:30 is like mom mode, dinner mode, because I experience the same thing. I don't think I've ever felt, and I'm not quick to anger in any situation really. And yet something very foreign to me would begin to well up if I'm trying to get an email out or I'm trying to draft something and I have interruption after interruption and I have a very impatient 7-year-old. And so if I had said, and this happened just the other day, I had said I would go play soccer with him. He came down probably 6 times and I just had to get it out, right? And there's nothing more intense than that feeling that is just building, like, well, and it's not his fault. It is my fault, right? Because I did not clearly set expectations with him about when, but then there's this one thing that has to get out. And so the balance that you talk about, the expectations, and just sort of the recognition that when at ages 10 and 7 right now, they don't have the cognitive ability to really wrestle with, I'm saying this is a priority. If I just get this done for 5 minutes, what they hear is, I am not important to you for the next 5 minutes. And that hurts my feelings. And they've said like different phrases of that, right? And so
yeah,
that expectation, blocking some time, just recognizing it's a no-go, and then using technology to my advantage, which looks like my phone goes on do not disturb from like 9 a.m. till noon, maybe. I can't remember what time in the afternoon. So I have like the solid, what I call kind of tiger time of work. And then I do the same thing in the evening. My phone goes on do not disturb beginning at 5 o'clock till at least till 6. And sometimes I leave it on longer. And I don't let any phone calls through, any text messages, because those are all just distractions pulling me away. And it's that reminder to me, I say I value my family and my connection and more, most importantly, my presence with them. And so I have to set up the environment of my phone, my technology to facilitate that. Because I don't know, I have goldfish brain sometimes, right? And if those texts or calls are coming through, that's another way I get distracted from it. So
yeah,
a little thing that I've done that's helped, but I agree, it's just such a work in progress.
Yeah. And I love that. Like you said, it's just creating the environment for your kids to still feel loved and appreciated, but at the same time, like us be able to get our stuff done without feeling like there's a conflict, like we're being pulled in different directions at the same time. So yeah, I love it. And for everybody who's listening, if you're dealing with this, like DM us, DM Bree, DM me, tell us that you're hearing this, because I feel like this doesn't get talked about enough because there's such a stigma with it, right? Because of the comments that I'm getting on that reel, right? They're young, you know, they're not young forever. You should be taking advantage of that time and cherishing that time. It's like, well, yes, we have, but we are whole human beings. We have like multiple things that we want to get done. So we have to figure out a way to still be really present with them and at the same time be able to get done what we need to get done. And that is just such a hard, hard balance. Everybody's trying to figure out their own way, but I'm really hoping that this helps. It's like expectation setting. Once you set your expectations, I think you're like half of the way there.
Yeah, 9/10 of the way, no doubt. So in wrapping up our conversation, which has been, I love that we dug into both business as well as some of the realities of being a working parent. I just feel it covers the gamut. We got into your heart, which I just am so grateful to be in conversation with you. What's next for Ina? Where can we find you? You know, what do you have on the horizon that we should be aware of? You are such a powerhouse, and I want people to know where they can get in touch with you.
You are a powerhouse, Bree. I am so happy for this podcast for you. I can't wait to see everything you're going to be doing this year. Like, I can't wait. And I get to have front seat to all of it. So I'm very excited for you. And right now, I'm going to tell you, I am in the middle of reimagining what my future is going to look like in the online space. So if you would like to stay in tune with it, just follow me on Instagram. I'm at Ina Coveney, but you have to spell Coveney right. It ends in EY. I'm sure the spelling is in the show notes. But yeah, following on Instagram is where you're going to really see where we're going. But we are thinking 10X. We are thinking big. We gotta let go of the small thinking. And it's really time to step into new stages, and I am very excited about it. So we'll see what that looks like and how that takes shape over the next few months. But I'll definitely be reporting at the Ina Coveney Instagram account.
Oh, beautiful. Cannot wait. 10X, let's go. Beautiful. Thank you so much for this conversation. And I will drop everything in the show notes so that my listeners can come find you. And please give Ina a follow, because she's doing some really cool things. And as she shared, she has even more greatness to come. Thank you for joining us on the Untamed Mind podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. Remember, the journey to becoming more authentically you looks like a steadfast commitment to your values and to untaming your mind. Stay tuned for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and a roadmap to a more balanced and joyful life. Until then, keep on thriving.